Hello and welcome again to a Classic TV Press podcast with me, Andy Priestner, and I'm joined again by Sophie Neville, who played Titty in Swallows and Amazons. If you've listened to some of our other podcasts, you'll know that there's a new book coming out called The Making of Swallows and Amazons to coincide with the 40th anniversary release of the film, and there's a new DVD coming out too. Sophie, I should say hello to you.
Yeah, hi there.
One thing we wanted to cover in this interview today was what it was like for you as a 12-year-old suddenly being thrust into this brave new world of a movie.
Well, it was absolutely extraordinary. I didn't audition for the part. My father received a letter completely out of the blue asking if I would come up for an interview, but it wasn't as if I'd applied. I was interviewed in the West End of London.
Yeah.
And we had a lovely day, actually, when we went up and walked around London, and then I had my interview. And I was immediately shortlisted and invited to go for a sailing weekend in Burnham-on-Crouch, where actually the director of the movie, Claude Watham, was auditioning 22 sort of finalists, if you like, having scoured the sailing clubs of England. And out of about 1,800 children who came to auditions, he'd selected 22 children, and I didn't think I was in for a chance.
Why?
There were four other girls
who
were shortlisted to play Titty, and they were all younger than me and really pretty and sweet, and I was really too old at 12 to play the part of a nine-year-old, and too tall.
Right.
I was about 5'2", so I was about 2 inches taller than the guy who they cast to play my older brother, John.
Okay.
But I had worked for the director before. I'd had a little part in the BBC play Side with Rosie, made in 1971.
That's quite a famous dramatisation.
Yeah, yeah. With Rosemary Leach playing Mrs. Lee. And Claude chose me to play Titty, to my amazement.
Right.
And he asked my mother to come up as chaperone. And I just had to pretend to be a nine-year-old.
So were there things in the way you performed to make that...
To make that possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to hide the fact that I was a bit tall. And I think I didn't see myself as Titty at all, but her lines were quite challenging. And I think the only way I could handle them was by laying on the charm. And I think it probably worked in the end.
Yeah.
We didn't actually ever see the script. Claude Watham, the director, was very keen that we should not be parody or ham acting children. And he purposely didn't see any children from London agents or from stage schools. He wanted us to be natural and just react to situations.
Right.
React rather than perform. But I had read the book through twice, and I'd read many other books in the Arthur Ransome collection of children's novels in the series. And it just came very naturally, these little scenes, to sing out the lines from the books. And in fact, when David Wood adapted the script, some of the lines were changed, and I put them back to what was actually the dialogue from the book,
because
I knew that better, naturally. For instance, when Titty reads out the cryptic telegram from their father, saying, "Better drown than duffers, if not duffers won't drown," I came out with the wording from the book, which the fans of the books love, the Arthur Ransome enthusiasts.
Yeah.
And although Titty was sort of loosely based on a real girl who was a quarter Syrian and dark-haired, Mrs. Ransome Arthur Ransome died when they adapted the book, but Mrs. Ransome wanted very English-looking children who any child in Britain could associate with. And she was quite keen that we weren't all as dark as the family who originally sort of acted as models for the Swallows, the real children. And I think she approved of my casting, and people tell me that they do associate me still with Titty, which is a bit daunting.
Yes.
I had to climb into the part of this imaginative little child. But it was fun. It was lovely being up in the Lake District, and we were working with really very nice actors who were hugely encouraging and supportive and there for us.
Did the Swallows all get on with each other?
Yes, we did. The secret is that Susanna and I were both 12, and the boys were actually younger than us, and actually worked quite well, because There was no frisson or anything like that. We just got over together as a little team, and we developed a huge closeness that I'd totally forgotten about. But when I see the boys now, I feel they're like my brothers.
Yeah.
I feel unusually close to them, considering I haven't seen them since.
Mm.
And they both look and sound completely different. They're completely unrecognisable. Whereas Susanna, it's easier with, you know, a girl. If you've grown up together and you've got a lasting friendship. But I was quite surprised when I met the boys. I think we developed a closeness from, you know, being in tight, small spaces, the railway compartment and the tent and the boat, and we got very close.
Yeah.
And it was good fun as well.
Were there any rivalry with the Amazons, with the swallows and the Amazons?
Well, in the story there is, but actually when we were acting together, I wouldn't say there was any rivalry. They weren't in it so much as us, and it was a bit boring for them to have to hang around, but Nancy and Peggy, very attractive characters. And it was the scenes we enjoyed most were the scenes where we all worked together. We were all acting together, for instance, on the houseboat.
Yeah.
Especially the pirate feast at the end. We enjoyed
that. Yeah.
That was nice eclairs to eat. Except I had to do the scene with a parrot on my shoulder, which was very challenging.
Why was that challenging?
You know, I wasn't a very tame parrot.
Okay.
I wasn't very friendly. I thought it might take a chunk out of my ears. And I'm delivering the most important lines in the whole film, really, but I said them very fast because I'm a bit worried about the parrot. But we survived.
Yeah.
It didn't fly away. But I actually had a green parrot of my own later on. Who I was very fond of.
Yeah.
The parrot has quite a leading role in Swallows and Amazons.
And could it actually talk?
His voice was dubbed on afterwards. He talked in a broad Lancashire accent. The rubber. He came onto the location in a zip-up shopping bag and then was chained to my shoulder so he wouldn't fly away. It was most peculiar. But we were lucky to find a parrot at all. Anyway, at least he was a real one. Everything was real. There weren't any visual effects. They shot those arrows for real over our heads.
They look quite vicious.
Yeah, they fired the cannon for real. I expect it was a blank. But we were really there. It really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we really did nearly hit the steamer.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, we nearly came to grief there.
Okay.
It was a bit frightening for my father. He was actually on board. He's a tall, dark native you can see in the white suit. He's absolutely terrified out of his wits because he nearly saw his daughter crash into this steamer that was going at quite a lick.
Wow. Yeah, so when it looks that close on the screen in that scene, it really was as close as...
Yeah. I actually thought about fending off, but it was going so fast, I just hunkered down.
Well,
it was quite dangerous.
We're very glad you survived, otherwise quite a different situation.
Yeah.
Yes. With every cast? No, probably abandoned the whole project.
No, but it's exciting. It's the 40th anniversary this year, and Studio Canal, the distributors, are bringing out a newly restored version on DVD and on Blu-ray. And you should be able to see screenings in London, in Cumbria and various other places in England this July and August to celebrate the 40th anniversary.
And there'll be full information on your website, no doubt,
sophieneville.net. Sophieneville.net. I will keep people updated. There's a Swallows and Amazons page. And it also shows of activities you can do with the Arthur Ransom Society and places where you can visit in the Lake District. You see the locations for yourself.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sophie. Thank you for your time. Goodbye.